Looking good, John.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Well, if you read in your community update note that I sent out, this was Christmas outfit weekend, and here's mine. And the reason I decided to do this rather than a sweater is because there was this thing going on Facebook that some of you were a part of, and about five or six of you said that if I would wear one of these jackets, you would double your Christmas offering. And so here it is. I'm looking for those checks that will come in for Christmas Eve offering. Now, the good news is they didn't say in that Facebook post that I had to wear it the entire service. So here it goes. All right. So I just don't want it to be too distracting as as I'm talking about the shepherds today. Well, it's great to be with you. You know, this is the third Sunday in Advent. You can see three of our five candles are lit today down there, the blue candles. You know, and the word Advent is, here's a little bit of history here. The word Advent means coming. Coming. And it also means that we're expecting something to happen. There's this sense of expectation in the word Advent, meaning coming. Now, a little bit of church history. You know, the early Christians back in the 4th and 5th century, when they began to place Advent, the season of Advent, within the church calendar, they were not talking about the coming of Jesus on the first Christmas. They weren't looking backwards to the coming of Christ on the first Christmas. They were actually, Advent was all about looking forward to the second coming of Christ. Well, over the centuries, that's been modified, where the Christian church mostly looks backward to the coming of Jesus again, to be born, reborn in our own hearts and in our own lives. Well, now with that little bit of history, a little bit of trivia, you know, you guys did so well on the Christmas quiz last weekend. There's a little bit of sarcasm in that, but I thought I would give you another Christmas quiz, just four questions, but here we go. We're going to see how you do. Now, number one, there was snow on that very first Christmas, A, only in Bethlehem, B, all over Bethlehem, C, nowhere in, all over Israel, C, nowhere in Israel, and D, somewhere in Israel. How many of you say A? Nobody. That's good. All right. B. Anybody B? All over Israel. No. All right. C. Nowhere in Israel. All right. D. Somewhere in Israel. If you chose D, you are right. It was somewhere in Israel. In fact, I'll tell you. Go ahead and put the picture up. This is Mount Hermon in Israel, the tallest point, over 9,000 feet. And guess this, ever since history has been recorded, there has been snow on that mountain. And I'm talking about all year long. Now, it doesn't look quite like that in the summer months, but there is snow in the valleys of Mount Hermon. So somewhere in Israel, on Mount Hermon, there had to be snow on that very first Christmas. Always been. All right. By the way, here's the other picture. This was just in January of 2017. This is in Jerusalem. There is occasionally snow in Jerusalem, although it's rare. By the way, what you're looking at right here is in this area right in here. That's the Mount of Olives, where Jesus went to pray before his arrest and betrayal by Judas with the kiss, you remember, right in here. Okay, let's look at the next one. Question two, what does the Bible say that the innkeeper said to Mary and Joseph? A, there's no room in the inn. B, I have a stable you can use. C, both A and B. D, none of the above. Okay, A, raise your hand. The innkeeper said there is no room in the inn. All right, B, I have a stable for you to use. All right, C, both A and B. All right. And D, none of the above. If you happen to choose D this time, you are absolutely correct. D is the answer. By the way, just so you know, Bible scholars, there is no mention of an innkeeper in the entire Christmas story. Although I played an innkeeper when I was a kid in the play. You know, and probably some of your kids may have played innkeepers. Well, the deal is there's no mention of an innkeeper at all. And so, therefore, there's no mention of an innkeeper saying anything to Mary and Joseph. Okay, here we go. Here's your third question. How many angels spoke directly to the shepherds? How many angels spoke directly to the shepherds? Was there A, 1, B, 3, C, a multitude, or D, none of the above? How many say A, one angel speaking to the shepherds? All right. How many say B, there were three angels that spoke directly to the shepherds? How many say C, a multitude of angels that spoke to the shepherds? Okay. How many say D, none of the above? All right. The answer is A. It is A. Only one shepherd in the story actually speaks to the only one angel actually speaks to the shepherd in the Christmas story. All right. Now, here's the fourth one and the last question. What did the angels say or sing? All right. Did they say or sing? A, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. B, glory to God in the highest. C, glory to the newborn king. D, none of the above. All right, let's find out what you think. A, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. All right, B, glory to God in the highest. Okay, C, glory to the newborn king. D, none of the above. The answer is actually B. Singing glory to God in the highest. Only one angel spoke, but then the scripture says a multitude of the heavenly host filled the sky and sang glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to all. So there you go. Once again, I have a lot of work to do. We've got to jump into this pretty quickly here. You know, over the past couple of weeks, I've been talking about how we have seen God with us through the example of Mary. Last week, we talked about how God is with us through the example of Joseph. Today, we're actually talking about how God is with us through the shepherds, through the shepherds. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to learn all about the shepherds today. We're going to hear the Christmas story read. And in fact, why don't we do that right now? Let's hear the Christmas story from someone you will recognize.
Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Thank you, Linus. I'm going to read the last five verses. It's on your outline. You may want to go ahead and pull that out. Find a pen or a pencil as well. When the angel had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about. And they hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about the child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. Then the angels went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. And that's God's word for us, and we are God's people, and we give him thanks. So that's the story about the shepherds. The question that I have for you is, what do we really know about them? I mean, what do we really know about these shepherds? I mean, where did they come from? What did they do? You know, what are their names? You know, what do we really know? Well, here's the one thing that we know absolutely and for sure, and I want you to write this down because it's here. The shepherds were the very first people to hear about the birth of Jesus Christ. And it was the first people that God chose. Now, I think this is incredibly important, that God chose to announce the birth of his son. They were the very first people that God chose to hear about the coming of the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, I think it says to me, it raises some questions in my mind. Maybe it raises some questions in your mind too. Like, you know, why shepherds? You know, why did God choose to announce the birth of his son for the very first time to the very first people, and they were a bunch of shepherds? Why? You know, wasn't there anybody else in Bethlehem? You know, were they all just flat out too busy? I mean, maybe they were all at, you know, the Bethlehem Mall buying last-minute Christmas presents. I don't know. But why in the world would they have, why would God have chosen a group of shepherds? Why? Well, to answer that question, you know, we're going to need to jump forward in time about 32 years from the very first Christmas to the story of Jesus and Zacchaeus. Now, do you remember who Zacchaeus was? You remember who he was? Well, you know, Zacchaeus, well, he was a wee little man, right? And a wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and he said, what? Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. For I'm going to your house to stay. All right, very good. Thank you, choir, for helping me there. Let's hear the story, right? From the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man there by the name of Zacchaeus, and he was the chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he couldn't see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. And all the people saw it and they began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. If I have cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times that amount. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And that's from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19. So here's the facts from the story. Number one, Zacchaeus was a tax collector. We know that. Number two, we know that he was Jewish. But here's the thing which made the crowd so furious, is that he was a Jewish man who was collecting taxes for whom? For Rome. He was collecting taxes for Rome. You know, that made him incredibly unpopular. And the bottom line is that Zacchaeus, according to society, was an outcast. And I want you to write this down. You're going to start to see how this story and a story I'm going to tell you next all come together to explain why Jesus chose the shepherds. Zacchaeus was an outcast. Now, one day word got around that Jesus was going to be passing through town. You know, his fame and his celebrity and the attention he had been getting has preceded him. A crowd has come out to check him out. Zacchaeus went out to see him because he was a short guy. He climbed up in the sycamore tree in order to see him. As Jesus passed that way, he calls him down and says to Zacchaeus, I want to stay in your house and go to your home for dinner. Now, when that happened, let me tell you, the crowd was furious. They were indignant. Tongues began to wag. What did they say? They said this: he has gone to be the guest of what? A sinner. Say it louder. A sinner. Okay. He's gone to be the guest of a sinner. Now, what does that mean? Now, think about it. What the crowd was saying, here's the implication. The crowd was saying that Zacchaeus was a what? But what does that say about them? What is the crowd thinking about them? That they're just fine, right? The implication is the crowd, they're just fine, but that old Zacchaeus, that old tax collector is a sinner. The crowd's fine, Zacchaeus was the sinner. Now, one more story, and then we'll get back to the shepherds. This is the story of when Jesus calls a guy named Levi. Now, before I go on, let me ask you, who do you, Levi also has another name that he's known far better than he's known by Levi. Who is that? Matthew. His name is Matthew, the guy who wrote the gospel, of the very first gospel, Matthew. It's the calling of Matthew, okay, or the calling, and in this story, he's called, his name is Levi. So, here's the story from Luke chapter 5. Jesus went out, and he saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him, and Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law, who belonged to their sect, complained to the disciples, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and... How about that? Does this story sound at least a little bit familiar? Yeah. Then Jesus answered, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. All right. Now, here's the story. So you got Matthew, Levi, Matthew, the Lord calling him. He's sitting at a tax booth because Levi was a tax collector. And guess what? He was also Jewish. And guess what? He was also collecting taxes for Rome, that's right, which made him incredibly unpopular among society. In other words, like Zacchaeus, Levi Matthew was an outcast. All right, so write that down. So he was an outcast. Jesus calls him to follow him and says that he's going to Matthew's house or Levi's house for dinner. Levi has this big banquet for Jesus, and the crowd was furious. They were indignant. Their tongues began to wag, right? And what did Jesus say? He said, go ahead and put it up on the screen. Or the crowd said, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and... There you go. Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? What's the implication? That Levi was a sinner and the crowd, they were just fine, right? They were not the sinners, but Levi Matthew was a sinner. What's the point of those two stories? It's this, that Jesus always seemed to go directly to the least, the last, and the lost. Jot that down, please. That Jesus always seems to go to the least and the last and the lost. In fact, when you look at both of those stories, you just check out the very last line. Look at the very last line. Here's the first one. From the Zacchaeus story, Jesus says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save what is lost." And then from the Levi story, Jesus said, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." There you go. So, what about those shepherds? Let's get back to those shepherds real quick. Now, isn't it fascinating to you or intriguing to you that God would choose to send out his very first birth announcement to a bunch of shepherds? Now, think about this. The first birth announcement, the first angel choir, well, it didn't go to King Herod, did they? They didn't sing for King Herod. They didn't sing for the Pharisees, did they? They didn't sing for the Sadducees, did they? They didn't sing for the religious elite or the big steeple preachers, did they? No, they didn't at all. They sung to a group of dirty shepherds in a field overlooking the city of Bethlehem. Let me tell you a little bit about those shepherds that day and that day and time. I want you to understand, first and foremost, that shepherds in that day and time were societal outcasts. They were outcasts. They lived on the outside of the city. They were not allowed to live on the inside of city gates. They had to live on the outside of the city. They were believed to be little more, listen to this, they were believed by the masses, by society, to be little more than thieves and cutthroats. That was the reputation of the shepherds. You know, so often we think of the shepherds as, you know, these wonderful, just animal-loving people, you know, that are kind of cuddly, you know. Problem is, that's not the story at all. That's not the history of the shepherds. They were outcasts living outside the fields, outside the city gates, not allowed inside. They were little more than thieves and cutthroats, according to the crowd. In fact, get this, the law actually forbade shepherds to attend worship in the temple. Did you know that? They were forbidden to go to the temple to worship. The shepherds were forbidden. Why? Because they spent their days in the fields with animals, and they regularly came in contact with dead animals. And if you, as a Jew, came in contact with dead animals, that made you ceremonially what? Unclean. You were ceremonially unclean. And therefore, if you were ceremonially unclean, could you go to the temple and worship? The answer is no. The law forbade them from going to the temple to worship. Shepherds were so looked down upon, they were even forbidden, listen to this, to give testimony in courts of law. Why? Because they were considered to be dishonest, unreliable witnesses. How about that? Couldn't even give testimony in a court of law. And yet, on that very first Christmas, when God entered into the human race through Mary and Joseph, and he cried for the first time, and he was wrapped in strips of cloth and placed in a manger, somewhere outside in the hills overlooking the town of Bethlehem was a group of dirty, unreliable, unpopular, outcast shepherds. A group of guys whom the respectable, the crowd, would never, ever wish to associate. And what happened? Suddenly, without warning, the scripture tells us, the sky was ablaze in light. The glory of the Lord shone all around them. The shepherds were motionless, their hearts racing with fear. They were face to face with someone that was face to face with none other than an angel of the Lord. And the angel spoke and said, "Don't be afraid, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." You can imagine what was going on in their hearts and in their mind. Glory to God in the highest. When the angels started to fill the sky, They fill the sky with the uncontained and unrestrained joyous song of God. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to all. And the strangest thing, according to the story, as quickly as they showed up, they vanished. And whoever it was that we have no idea who took care of the flock after that, because those shepherds, those outcasts, those unreliable, unpopular shepherds left their fields, left their sheep, and ran into Bethlehem as quickly as they could. And somewhere, somehow, they found in Bethlehem Mary and Joseph and Jesus, just like the angels told them. And they told everybody they could about what the angels had actually said. And isn't it just like God to have chosen this group of outcast, unpopular, unclean, dishonest, unreliable shepherds to hear about the birth of Jesus before anybody else in the world? Isn't it just like God to do something like that? The very first people to hear about the birth of Jesus and to tell it were the very people that the society, the respectable, would never wish to associate. You know, you've heard the cliche, like father, like son, or the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Well, you think about the Zacchaeus and Levi story. Instead of partying with government officials, who does Jesus choose to party with? Zacchaeus, the tax collector. Levi, the tax collector, the outcast, the unpopular, the possibly dishonest and unreliable. So what in the world is it that we can learn from all of this when we look at how God used these shepherds? Well, the first thing, and you don't need to write this down because I wrote it in your notes for you, and that is this, that God cares deeply, hear me, deeply, for the least and the last and the lost. On the very first Christmas, who did God go to share this good news? For the first people were those who were considered the least and the last and the lost. The dirty, unpopular, outcast, unreliable shepherds. When God was calling his disciples together, he called Levi, the outcast, the unreliable, the possibly dishonest, the one whom their society would never want to associate with because he was a sinner, but yet they were just fine. And then later on in this same gospel, we find Jesus going through Jericho, and all of society lined up along the streets to see him pass by, but there was one outcast, unreliable, possibly dishonest, guys who had crawled up a tree to see him. And who in the world did Jesus choose to go to dinner with that day? But Zacchaeus. Let me tell you, God cares deeply for the least and the last and the lost. But there's one other thing that we can learn from this too. And that's this. I want you to write it down. You and I are here in part celebrating today because the shepherds couldn't keep their mouths shut. I love that. And it's so true. You and I are here in part today because those dirty, unreliable, unrespected, outcast shepherds just couldn't keep their mouths shut. You know, the scripture said that what they did is once they left there, they went and told everybody, it says, everybody they came in contact with. exactly what the angel had said, exactly what they had seen when they got to wherever Mary and Joseph were and saw that baby lying in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, the King James Version says. You know, you just think about that. That we, you and I, are here in part just because the shepherds, they couldn't keep their mouths shut. They told everybody. Here's the last thing I want you to write down, and it's this. That not only, folks, is God with us, but here's something even neater. Is that God is, say it louder, for us. God is for us. Let's say it. God is for us. Not only is God with us, but God is for us. That's right. Not only is God with us, but God is for us. And you know what? I take so much joy in that. And I'll tell you why. Because I'm a sinner just like you are. You know, I'm sorry if I'm the first person that's ever told you that you're a sinner, but the reality is you are. Scripture makes it very clear that all of us are in the same boat together. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You're not perfect and neither am I. We make mistakes. We screw up. We're kind of, in some ways, and please hear me humbly say this, in some ways, we're kind of like the outcast shepherds. Because sometimes you and I are not reliable. Sometimes we're not always honest, are we? Sometimes, particularly as we're doing our very best to live out the gospel life and allow the light of Jesus Christ to shine within us. You know what society thinks of us sometimes? That you and I are outcasts. That's what happens when you follow Jesus. That's what happens when you live out the gospel life. That sometimes you're going against what society is telling, and that makes you an outcast. That not only is God with us, but thank God he cares about the least and last and the lost, because God is for us. And you know, on Christmas, one of the places that my mind goes to, at some point on Christmas Day, usually after the presents are all unwrapped and the kids have gone to wherever to their rooms or wherever they're going, and Rosemary may go into the kitchen, and I'm sitting there in the family room and it's kind of quiet, and my mind turns to this, that I thank God that not only is he with us, but he's for me. He took this outcast and he forgave me of all my sinfulness. And he threw his arms open and he welcomed me. And I am grateful to be a follower of the very one who is for me. Someone said, who's occasionally unreliable, sometimes an outcast, and someone who doesn't always live up to what it means to be a true follower of Jesus Christ. But he loves me. And I think that's exactly what you and I today can learn from those dirty group of shepherds who went first to see Jesus. Let's pray.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all your love, mercy, and grace that surrounds us. We are truly grateful for all that you do for us. We pray right now, Lord, as we give you thanks that not only are you with us, but you're for us. We thank you for wiping away our sinfulness, for throwing your arms open and welcoming us into your family. You have forgiven us, you've restored us, you give us meaning and purpose in life. And I pray, Lord, for those today who have yet to experience that freeing and saving grace of Jesus Christ, that today they may open their own hearts and say something like, thank you, Lord. I don't quite understand it all, but you welcome me into. If you could welcome a group of shepherds, as unreliable and as outcast as they are, you can welcome me. So the best I know how, I accept you as Lord and Savior. Accept your forgiveness, and I want to start a brand new life. So this coming Christmas next week, I want to start it with you. And I thank you, Lord, and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to invite our